Yeah, got to be very careful. I'm just taking the bauble off the Christmas tree, putting it back in its designated box. There we go. Why are you taking Christmas decorations off the tree, John? You may inquire, when we've not even had Christmas. Well, it's a long story, but I can tell it in just a few words. Mary, my wife, has cancelled Christmas in the Shuttleworth household. Better get the fairy. No, oh, the step ladders. No.
We present the Shuttleworths in Your Very Good Elf.
Oh. You see, what's happened is that my son Darren has got back with Jasmine. Probably don't know Jasmine. I don't know her very well, but she used to go out with Darren years ago, and they split up when Jasmine entered the armed forces. She was playing the cornet, and in that capacity she travelled the world in various marching bands. She recently left the army, at which point she was medically downgraded, but that didn't prevent her from getting a job at the local leisure centre, where she now works distributing squash rackets. If you lose your trunks, Jasmine's the person to go to. And she's back with Darren, because one night recently she went into Bargain Boo's, where Darren is assistant manager, to purchase a multi-pack of crisps. And they got talking, and, yeah, they're back together. Fairy tale ending, you might say. But no, because Jasmine's parents, I don't know the names, sorry, I can't help you there, but they have invited Darren to come to their house in Thurcroft to spend Christmas with Jasmine and the family. Yeah, so this means Darren won't be here for Christmas Day. Meanwhile, my daughter Karen, Jan, who lives in Mansfield, she's Jan, a nursery assistant, she's gone and bought a...
Jan!
Oh. What, love?
Are you taking that tree down?
Yes, I am, love. Don't worry.
Good.
Yeah, it's coming down.
Get it down.
Rescue dog. She bought a rescue dog from a rescue centre. It's a whippet. And Mary won't have it on the premises because, you know, it's a bit nervy. And she's worried it'll fight with our Scotty dog, Kirsty. Karen has taken umbrage and is staying in the flat with her flatmate, Maxine, in Mansfield. Yeah, it's incredibly complicated. And I'm sorry to have to burden you with all the facts, but you needed to know why we're not having Christmas. And Mary has gone into a deep depression at the double whammy. No children here for the first time ever. I'm upset as well, but, you know, someone's got to keep things going. Someone's got to feed the dog and dismantle the tree. There's tinsel everywhere. Oh, now there's someone at the door. Excuse me. Ken Worthington.
Hello.
What do you want?
Oof, that's not a very seasonal greeting, John. And why have you got tinsel in your hand? It's a bit late to be putting your tree up.
You better come in, Ken.
Oh, right.
How can I help you, Ken?
I've just brought you and Mary a Christmas card.
Keep your voice down, Ken.
Why?
Come into the lounge.
Very well. What's going on, John? Hey?
Well...
And as I've already stated, it's very late to be putting your tree up. You're making a right mess of it. Do you want some help?
No. Well, yes, I do, Ken. Taking it down.
Taking it down?
Well, as I've already explained to the listeners, Ken, I don't want to go through it all again.
Mm.
But Christmas has been cancelled.
No!
Yep.
Why?
And on Christmas morning, it'll be just me and Mary, sat in silence.
Oh.
We'll watch a bit of telly, hopefully.
Mm.
Maybe we'll have some boiled ham. I don't know.
Oh, yes.
But Mary's upstairs. She's very upset that Karen and Darren aren't coming home for Christmas.
Oh, so, I see.
Yeah. Christmas is off this year, Ken, for me.
Oh, well, do you mind if I take this bottle of sherry home with me, John? Because I've been to Morrison's, but I forgot to buy some sherry.
Did you?
And it's a shame to waste it, isn't it?
It is.
Is that all right?
Well, normally, Ken, I would say no, but I've got very little resistance.
Yes.
You know, I'm a defeated man.
Oh, John.
Yeah. You can take the chocolate Brazil nuts as well, Ken.
Oh.
Actually, no, you can't.
No.
I've just realised I could eat them in secret.
Mm.
Mary need never know.
That's the spirit, John.
Yeah.
You know, you mustn't let Mary dictate to you.
You're right, Ken.
Mm.
I can set up a grotto in the garage with me keyboard on top of the deep freeze and play a medley of Christmas songs to myself.
Yes.
On Christmas Day.
You can. And you can come with me, John, to the garden centre.
Ooh.
I'm going in about 40 minutes.
Yes.
To enjoy the Christmas lunch.
Ooh.
£7.95, including a complimentary Christmas cracker.
Is it?
No, it's £9.95. It's still very good value.
Yes.
Will you come with me, John?
Oh, I'd love to, Ken.
What is going on?
Hello, Mary.
Why is this tree not back in the loft yet?
It will be shortly, love.
Hello, Ken.
Hello, Mary. Merry Christmas to you.
Oh, tree, John.
Oh, blimey.
I'm sorry, John, I can't stay here.
No, you can't.
It's a very dysfunctional situation, if you don't mind me saying.
Oh, is it?
It's not right.
Well,
you shouldn't be like this at Christmas.
No, we shouldn't. Yeah, off you go, Ken.
Yeah, bye.
That's right, take the sherry.
I can see myself out.
Yes, you can. It's all right, Kirsty. Our little Scotty dogs are looking worried. As well she might. She's not going to be celebrating Christmas either. I keep calling her a Scotty. Of course, she's a West Highland Terrier. I've written a song about that, which I'd like to perform for you now on my electronic organ with built-in auto accompaniment that I've got set up in the lounge. Obviously, I'm going to play quietly because I don't want to antagonise Mary. Given the Scottish theme, the bagpipes seems very apt, but I haven't got her on this organ. I've only got number 51, which is tuba, but, you know, it sounds like the bagpipes. Here we go. Kirsty is a Westie, not a Scottie. I knew that when we bought her as a puppy, but at some point I forgot, started calling her a Scot. But she is not and must think I am potty. Kirsty's not a Scottie, she's a Westie. Mary knew but never tried to correct me. For years this joke has run, people must have thought me dumb. And Kirsty's come to shun and even detest me. Right, firing up the bagpipes now, you know, for a big solo. Oh, here we go. It's an error I regret, repeating it to my pet and everyone I met while on a walkie. And to get it wrong for so long is very naughty. For Kirsty is a Westie, not a Scottie. That's right. Oh, is that my mobile? It's Joan Chitty. Oh, that's a friend of Mary's and a co-worker, as both women work as dinner ladies at a local primary school. I better answer it. Joan, hello.
Hello, John. I've tried ringing Mary, but she's not answering the mobile.
No. Is everything all right, Joan?
It's not, John.
Ooh.
The Christmas tree has snapped in two.
Oof.
Can you come round, John, just and see if you can put it together with string or something like that?
I can go one better than that, Joan.
Can you?
Get the kettle on. I'll be round shortly. There you go, Joan. What a new Christmas tree.
Oh, have you done it?
Well, I've still got to balance some of the decorations. It's just slightly askew.
Is it?
Just put my spirit level against the trunk.
Oh.
Oh, that's not bad. Not bad at all.
Mm.
So I'm quite pleased with that.
Good. What are you doing?
Just moving this chocolate robin about a centimetre to the left, Joan, on this branch.
No, I thought you were going to take it off and eat it. Because you can do, John. As a reward for letting me borrow your Christmas tree.
Yeah, well, let's just do a final check, Joan, with the spirit level. There. Perfect.
I'm so grateful to you, love.
You're welcome.
But I think Mary has gone bananas, you know, to react like that.
Yes.
Just because your children have made other plans. You accept it.
That's right. You do, Joan, and I have.
Good.
And on Christmas morning, I will open up all my presents.
Good.
In my car.
In your car?
Or the garage, possibly.
No.
Well,
John.
You know, I don't see why I shouldn't celebrate Christmas just because Mary doesn't want to.
Oh. Why aren't you getting more angry with Mary for ruining your Christmas?
Anger solves nothing, Joan.
Well.
Last time I got really cross was in 2011.
Was it?
When my son Darren opened up a packet of Weetabix the wrong way round.
Oh, yes.
And I snatched it off him and resealed it with sellotape.
Yes.
Opened up the correct end. And I was in a blind fury.
Where?
So cross that I tore the little cardboard tab. You know, that you used to seal it.
Yeah. I know, yes.
And I couldn't repair it properly. Because it's a very small mating surface.
Is it?
And I realised at that point that anger solves nothing.
Well, I'm not so sure about that. Do you want your chocolate robin now?
Oh, no. That's going to knock the tree off balance.
No. Well, sit down and have a mince pie.
Oh, now that sounds a good idea. I will. Thank you, Joan. I sat down in Joan's armchair, which was right next to the radiator, which was on and providing an even distribution of heat. Through the gap in Joan's neck curtains, I had a good view of my Austin Ambassador, which was parked outside. Next to me, on the windowsill, was an antelope, with its head thrust right back, as if its horns were going to pierce its back. But luckily, they stopped just short. To my right was Joan's fish tank, with several fish swimming happily. And when Joan brought me a mince pie with cream...
Here you go, love.
Oh, thank you, Joan. I remembered what Christmas could be like.
You're enjoying that, aren't you? Eh?
I am, Joan. It's lovely.
Good.
But why are you now dressed as a Christmas fairy? Because the listeners won't know that you've changed your outfit, Joan.
No. You're recording?
Yes, I am. Yeah, it's a Christmas broadcast, Joan.
All right.
You don't mind, do you?
No, no, that's fine. Go on. What were you saying?
You know, why are you dressed as a Christmas fairy? Because Joan is. Quite a skimpy outfit, Joan, if you don't mind me saying.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, I just thought it would be apt for the season, Joan.
Yeah.
You don't mind me sitting on the arm of the chair, do you?
Oh, no. No, that's fine.
What are you looking at? Hey?
Well, I'm just admiring...
Yes?
..the effect that your Christmas tree lights are having on the ceiling.
The ceiling?
Yeah, it's making some nice patterns. And it reminds me of a kettle that we once owned.
A kettle?
It emitted a blue light during the boiling cycle.
Oh.
I used to switch off the kitchen light to study it.
Did you?
Mary wasn't that bothered.
No, she wouldn't be.
But, yeah, you know, it's... Oh, in fact, I've written a song about it, Joan, which I could play for you now, because I've got my organ with me. If I can just get up and...
Oh, yeah.
I need to briefly unplug your water feature, Joan, to plug in my organ.
Yeah, be careful, John. Oh. Be careful. Oh.
That's it.
Hey.
Yeah, I think you're going to like this one, Joan.
Yes.
Here we go. When we purchased it at Curry's, we were filled with doubts and worries. Could a blue light kettle really fit the bill? Was it worth the extra money? Would it make the water taste funny? But we absolutely loved it and always will. I miss my blue light kettle. Our current one's made of metal, but this was made of plastic and was white. It made patterns on the ceiling, which induced a pleasant feeling when the boiling cycle was at its height. when the boiling cycle was at its height.
Oh, what's happening?
Can you see it, Joan?
What?
Iridescent patterns on the ceiling. Fantastic.
Yes.
Oh, my blue light kettle. How I love my blue light kettle.
Oh, my blue light kettle.
When we got it home and unwrapped it, like children we reacted.
Did you?
Marvelling at the product we'd been sold.
No.
When it broke, we couldn't accept it.
No.
We wish we could have kept it. But all future cups of tea would have been cold.
Yes, they would.
Come on, Joan, you know it now.
Yeah.
I love my blue light kettle. Our current one's made of metal. But this was made of plastic and was white. It made patterns on the ceiling, which induced a pleasant feeling when the boiling cycle was at its height. When the boiling cycle was at its height.
Ooh,
Joan's spinning round and round like a whirling dervish. Careful!
I'm falling, Jan.
Ooh.
No.
Are you all right, Joan?
I am, but just look at my tree.
Well, it's actually my tree, Joan.
No, I know.
And, you know, I don't know what Mary's going to say.
No, who cares?
That's two Christmas trees you've broken in one day.
Well, it's your fault, Jan, for making me join in on a song with such an expressive beat.
Yes. Well, that's because it's number 67, Anchor.
Is it? Right,
yes.
Well, while you work out how to mend the tree, I'm going to get you another mince pie, all right?
Actually, I'm going to go, Joan, because Mary will be getting worried about me.
No, she won't. She won't, love. Old miserable moping Mary cares about is herself.
Ooh.
You're much better off staying here with me and having another mince pie. You can sit by the radiator and watch the fish.
Ooh.
I'm going to plug the water feature back in. Now, do you want cream with your mince pie?
Look, I'd love to stay, Joan, but I'm going.
You're not going anywhere.
Oof, Joan's just produced a wand, and she's jabbing it at me. Get off, Joan.
No, you're staying, Joan.
I'm not.
You're staying for another mince pie.
No.
And then you're going to fix the tree.
Oof.
I deserve to have a nice Christmas as well.
I know. Oof, I'm beating a hasty retreat.
Come here. Oh.
Joan's wings have got caught in the door frame. Luckily for me. Yeah, if you're stuck fast.
Oh, I am.
Bye, Joan. Thanks for the mince pie. I'm at the garden centre now, in the Hansel and Gretel chalet, shed section. I've got a very nice view through the window of all the Christmas trees. Still quite a few for sale, if you've not got one yet. I was hoping to bump into Ken in the restaurant, help him pull his cracker, but I've missed him. He's about to pull it on his own, which I would have thought would be quite difficult and slightly humiliating. Not heard from Mary. I don't fancy going home, you know. I want to be where it's Christmassy. And here it is. It's lovely. I could imagine that I'm in a log cabin in Lapland, looking out over a snowy forest. All it would need to complete the scene is a Christmas elf with a little sled, you know. I don't believe it. I've just seen a Christmas elf. He didn't have a sledge, but, hey, he's coming into the shed section. He's got a little hat on with a big bell. Can you hear it ringing as he plods along? Oof, he's coming towards my chalet. He looks strangely familiar. He's opening the door. Excuse me. Ken!
Oh, hello, Jan. Do you mind if I join you in the Hansel and Gretel chalet?
No.
Because it's a bit warmer in here than out there.
No, that's fine, Ken. Come and join me.
Oh, that's better.
Oh. Ken, I don't understand. Why are you dressed as a Christmas elf?
Because I am a Christmas elf.
Oh.
You see, after I'd had my dinner, which was lovely, by the way.
Was it?
I went to visit Santa's grotto.
Did you?
And just for a laugh, you know. Mm-hmm. But, of course, they turned me away.
Yeah.
Because I'm not eligible.
It's for children.
Yeah.
Ken.
But they invited me to be an elf.
Oh.
Because their elf had to go back to Dronfield to wait for a sofa to be delivered.
Oh, I see, yes.
But anyway, I agreed.
Take your time,
you know,
Ken. Yeah, you're all right. Hang on, have you been crying?
No. Yes, I have, actually. Because
yes.
It's been horrible.
Oh.
It's been a horrible experience.
Mm.
At first it was pleasant. But after a while, the children started pulling me bell and taking the mickey.
Yeah.
And I've had enough, John.
Well,
I'm on an official break now, but I don't think I'm going back.
Ken, you have to go back.
Why?
Otherwise, those little children will be disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they don't see Santa.
Well, he's still there.
Oof, I don't think he is, Ken.
What do you mean?
Well, look outside.
Hey?
Can you see?
Oh.
There's a... You can't see, ladies and gentlemen, but there's a bloke who's dressed like Santa,
yes.
I presume.
It's Geoffrey.
Yeah?
Geoffrey's
gone. Well, he's just torn his beard off.
Oh.
And he's thrown it down on the ground and he's stormed off.
He's had enough of now. Oh, brilliant. We can all go home now.
What do you mean?
I can have an early Malibu. The nightmare is over.
No, Ken. The nightmare is just beginning.
Right?
For the little children that are queued up, hoping to see Santa.
Oh.
Now, look, it's barely 3 o'clock.
Well...
You know, you've got to resume your duties as the elf.
But we haven't got a Santa.
Well, Ken...
Can't do it without a Santa, John. Why are you smiling?
Don't you see?
What?
I will play Santa.
You?
I've got no professional engagements this Christmas.
No?
Thanks to my useless agent.
Oh.
And there's a costume on the ground, Ken. Cast aside by Geoffrey.
Oh.
It looks like it'd fit me perfectly. So, come on, let's do it.
Oh, John, you're being very naive.
Why?
Firstly, you must audition for the part. Then, if successfully cast in the role of Santa, negotiations must take place between the employer and the artiste's representative, which is me. And my office is closed for Christmas.
Oh.
So I'm sorry, John, it's not going to happen.
No. Hang on.
What?
There's Joan Chitty. And Mary.
Oh,
and it looks like they're both buying Christmas trees. Come on, Ken, let's go and say hello.
You can. I'm still on my break.
I left the bad-tempered elf and went to greet Joan Chitty, who, thankfully, was no longer wearing the fairy's outfit, but the much more suitable attire of a tracksuit and a micro fleece, and to say hello to my wife, Mary, who, for some reason, was smiling.
Yeah? So, Jasmine's parents are going to Gran Canaria.
Yes.
Because they got a late deal.
Yeah.
So this means Darren and Jasmine are going to come to our house for the dinner on Christmas Day.
It's fantastic news, Mary. Mm.
And wait till you hear about Karen and Maxine.
Ooh.
Tell him, Mary.
Well, Maxine's mother is going to have the dog.
Yes.
And Karen and Maxine are coming over from Mansfield. On Christmas Eve.
Oh.
So it's going to be a full house, John.
Oh, yes.
We can have a nice Christmas after all.
We can.
So I've chosen a tree.
Yes.
And because I understand there was an incident with ours.
Well.
And I've got a new tree as well. Look, John.
Lovely, John.
So everything's turned out fine.
It has, yes.
And you can come back now, please, and, you know, start doing some jobs.
Ooh.
You have a Christmas tree to put up.
I'm sorry, Mary. I've got a prior engagement.
What's that, then?
Playing Santa, subject to passing the audition and successful negotiations with the management.
And I've every confidence that they will be, John. Get Geoffrey's suit on.
Oh.
We're going to work.
Why the change of heart, Ken?
I've done some thinking. And you're right, John. You can't disappoint children at Christmas time.
No, you can't.
No.
And my children, Karen and Darren, are coming home for Christmas and I do not want them to be disappointed by walking into a house that is not ready.
No.
So I'm sorry, John, but you've chosen a terrible time to play Santa.
No.
Now, please help Joan and myself with our trees, because they're heavy. Come on.
Mary, playing Santa could be a big break for me.
Oh, for somebody else.
What do you mean, Ken?
Isn't that a Santa suit? I spy in Joan's trolley.
It is, Ken, yes. Oh, I bought it because my fairy wings broke. Oh. And I thought this costume would be less fragile.
Yeah. Do you harbour dreams to play Santa?
No.
I think you'd be very good.
Yes, yeah.
You've got the physique. And, you know, your voice is quite low, isn't it?
No.
No.
Oof. Ken Worthington, you're a cheeky devil.
No.
Oof. Joan's just taken a swipe at Ken and knocked his elf's hat off.
Right. She has.
Hey, got a nice ring, hasn't it, that bell?
Yes, but you've just given away my location.
Oh.
They will have heard the bell and they'll be searching for me. You know, because my break's over now.
Yeah.
I'll have to go, John.
No.
Before you do, Ken, I must ask you to stay and join in the song that will end this Christmas edition of The Shuttleworths. I've got my organ perched on top of a birdbath. I wanted to play Santa, would have done so with witty banter, but it was just a silly fantasy.
I'm afraid it was, yeah.
I also think that probably my knees are a bit too knobbly for children to sit on them properly, you see. While Joan Chitty explores the role of Santa Claus, I'll be home indoors with my loving family. Pulling crackers, cracking nuts,
knotting balloons with a gentle touch.
I beg your pardon?
Didn't you used to do that, John, when you were little? Pretend the balloon was a football and head it round the road?
I did not. It sounds dangerous, Ken. You could become disorientated and knock over your Christmas tree. Not that anyone here would do that, obviously.
No, John.
No.
Don't worry, John.
I'll be working hard myself, for I am Ken, the Christmas elf.
But no Malibu for yourself.
It will remain upon the shelf.
Glad to hear it, Ken.
Hey, Ken. I'm ready. Do you like me garter?
Oh, I say. Everybody, while Joan Chitty explores the role of Santa Claus, I'll be home indoors with my loving family.
Pulling crackers, cracking nuts,
watching The Great Escape and Butch
Cassidy and the Sundance Kid,
studying the quality street in Lid. Well, I used to when it had a Victorian street scene. Now it's just a photo of sweeties.
I'm sure you'll still eat them though, won't you? Hey. Sorry I've been a bit grumpy, John.
Well...
Merry Christmas, love.
Merry Christmas, Mary. And a Merry Christmas to you, listeners.
The Shuttleworths was written and performed by Graham Fellows and produced by Dawn Ellis. It was a Chic Ken production for BBC Radio 4.
Where are you going, Ken?
Hey.
We'd like our sherry back, please.
Oh!